The words chosen for this morning are found in the 52nd chapter of Isaiah, beginning with the 7th verse. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Congregation will be seated. In Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd who sends men as shepherds, dear fellow redeemed, this text speaks about beautiful feet. There's something a bit odd about discussing beautiful feet. Gorgeous feet aren't necessarily something that's emphasized in beauty contests, I don't think. Living in the dormitory, you will soon learn, if you haven't already, all about athlete's foot, corns, bunions, and toenail fungus. You've got it. Okay. We don't have beautiful feet, to say the least. But this text says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. This tells us that those who proclaim the message of salvation, all Christians and especially those in the public ministry, have gorgeous feet, beautiful feet, not in themselves, but because God has chosen them for this purpose. By nature, every one of us here have to admit that we're covered with the filth and stench of sin. Isaiah the prophet says, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That marred condition and that stain is still there. At all times, we are paupers, streetwalkers, the living dead wandering aimlessly in this life. And even as those who trust in Jesus, when we look at our old sinful flesh, we see that so often we don't do the things that we want to do, but rather we do things we never intended to do. A wretched situation. How often aren't we embittered with family members and with those we love? Are we jealous of our roommates' possessions, academic achievement, or athletic achievement? At times we tend to mock and look down on those little oddities that those have around us, while our glaring idiosyncrasies we don't even notice. How often isn't our purpose just to grab more of this and grab more of that in our lives? Our cravings for sexual desires are fulfilled at times with pornography. There is alcohol rampant even in the dorms. And how often don't we think about shoplifting, a minor thing? Maybe it's a sport for excitement. And all the while we do those things that we think are going to make us happy, we become more and more miserable. What a wretched thing our sinful flesh is. We are paupers, beggars. That is sure. That's what Luther told us. The called servants of Christ, as all of us, have no gorgeous feet, but their beauty is found in the message they proclaim. And this text speaks of that message as good news to Zion, as the message of salvation. That message of the gospel reminds me of the book, The Prince and the Pauper, by Mark Twain. In that novel, remember, the only son of the infamous King Henry VIII of England, Edward VI, exchanges places with a pauper that resembles him. He endures the poverty and the humiliation of street life in 16th century London, while the pauper enjoys the wonders and excitement of court life in the Tudor castle. As amazing, as unbelievable as it may seem, that's what God's Son did for every one of us. No novel. He, the Prince of heaven and earth, became a pauper like you and me, so that we could live forever with him as princes, the adopted sons and daughters of God. That fantastic exchange he accomplished through his most holy cross. There he traded the white robes of his righteousness for our filthy rags. He washed us clean with his blood in the baptismal waters and gives us the garments of salvation. Think of it. He took your sin, the bad things we do today and what we've done in the past and the ones that we're going to do in the future. He took our sin. He took our punishment of death and hell upon himself and gave you in exchange forgiveness, life, and salvation. The most dramatic gesture of love began in the Blessed Virgin's womb. Oh, when the Son of God took the poverty of our humanity and gave us in exchange the riches of his divinity, a share in the divine nature. He became as we are so that we can be as he is. And that treasure, the greatest treasure in this life, worth more than anything else, he offers to you again this morning in his life-giving word. As the word is being spoken, he is placing the greatest treasure there is into your laps. And that treasure is received by a simple, confident trust, worked in our hearts through those very means of grace. The called servants have beautiful feet because Christ sends them to proclaim this wonderful message. That's the purpose of our Bethany Lutheran Theological Seminary, which is also located on this campus. Our students are being prepared to declare the message of salvation. The Savior is calling our seminarians to tend the flock of God with, St. Paul calls it, the mysteries of God, which are the means of grace, the word and the sacraments. Those means of grace are the greatest treasure that we can have in this life, because here is where Jesus is there for you with all his blessings. Without Jesus, my friends, and I've found it to be true myself, without Jesus, this life has no meaning or purpose, and its end is destruction. Destruction in hell. Without Jesus, no matter what we think is going to make us happy, and we've all got ideas, and I still got ideas of things that I still want that I think are going to make me happy. And yet, when we have tasted those things, we find them wanting. Without Jesus, there's no meaning and purpose in life. Even if we get everything that we think we need to be happy, there'll be a craving within that will not be satisfied with wealth, power, and prestige. Only the Lord Jesus can give rest to our hearts. He gives meaning to this life and hope for the life to come. That's the message that our seminarians are to proclaim. That's the message that all called workers proclaim. It's the greatest work there is. The most important earthly occupation affects only the here and now. The doctor can only make this body well and only for so long. You can see I'm withering on the vine. But the called servant gives you the medicine that will last for eternity so that you will live forever. Therefore, this morning, I want to encourage every young man here to consider the preaching and teaching ministry of our Lord. I want every young lady here to consider the teaching ministry, feeding the little lambs in our Lutheran elementary schools. There is no greater work. You're giving them the most important thing there is. If full-time service in the Lord's kingdom is not possible for us, then don't think there's nothing I can do, as we sing in the hymn. The Lord is asking each of us to share the gospel of salvation with all around us, the good news of full forgiveness in our Lord Jesus Christ. Is there a need? Is there a need for the gospel? Oh, yes. People are wandering aimlessly all around us. Is there a need for pastors and teachers? Yes. There's vacancies in our church bodies, and our churches want to begin new churches and schools. All around us, the souls of men are dying, and the Master calls for each of us to help. The dear Lord Jesus, who became poor and lowly to raise us to his divine glory, is calling for each of us here to share the gospel that centers in Jesus' cross for our salvation. He is calling for pastors and teachers. He's calling for you. Let none hear you idly saying, "There is nothing I can do." While the souls of men are dying and the Master calls for you, take the task he gives you gladly. Let his work your pleasure be. Answer quickly when he calleth. Here am I. Send me. Send me. Amen.